I am definitely seeing a big change. Look at Sudan. The revolution itself was led by the youth. If it wasn't for the youth stepping up and taking the mantle and saying, enough is enough, let us prepare our own futures, let us fight for our own futures. The same thing is happening in Kenya. You see, the youth are kind of leading the conversation and leading the fight. They're at the forefront of everything. And for me, the African prospect is a bright one. I see Africa flourishing in the next few years. I see Africa making strides in economics, in politics, and it's definitely going to be led by the young people, which is why I'm so grateful to be a part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, making sure that young leaders are put at the forefront of very important conversations, making sure that our voices are heard, our efforts are being, valued, and the contributions that we make to whatever space that we're in are being taken into account.
And how are you going to use the connections that you've made here in Washington back home? Sometimes when you bring new ideas, they look at you like you want to bring colonialism back here after the British left. How are you going to navigate that terrain?
You know what? That's a very difficult question, and I think that's a question that will need a lot of thought. But for me, to give you the littlest, most concise answer, I feel like I would have to be talking and collaborating with people that are willing to listen to different ideas, willing to collaborate with me, which, as I said, most of the young people in Sudan are very receptive to different ideas at the moment. Even if it's not coming from within and it's coming from outside, they are receptive.
We
So,
are talking about the Z generation and the
yes.
CNN effect.
Exactly, the young generation, the people that are there, the people that are fighting, the Gen Zs, some millennials, I'm a millennial, but I like to think that I have the same tenacity and the same fight that Gen Z do. So I will make sure that for me, the youth are the people that I engage the most. Because at the end of the day, it's the youth that will be there in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years, that will be leading the world, that will be leading the conversation and leading change, whether in Sudan or on the continent at large.
Now, talk to me about your cultural shock. When I first came here, my cultural shock was people don't want handshake. Because I come from a place where you have to shake hand every time, every 5 minutes.
You know what? That is definitely different, especially since we Sudanese people like to say, "Hi, how are you?" We hug, we kiss,
Yes,
and it
you
continues. It's
ask
a
about the
cycle.
ancestors, the grandmothers, and the grandfathers. And when I came here, handshake was quite, regarded like a weird habit.
Taboo.
Yeah, and I'm like, why? People told me, hey, come on, this thing has to do with hygiene. So talk to me about your cultural shock.
I think maybe because of COVID, people have become a little bit more reserved. Even Sudanese people, us, we've become a bit more reserved, I would say, with that. But before, we were just going at it. The biggest culture shock is that Americans really don't want to have small talk. Like you said, we want to sit down, we want to have a chat, we want to learn, how's your family doing? How's your dad doing? No, they tend to want to get straight into the point. They're very focused people. So sometimes I found it a bit jarring, a bit different, when you start a conversation and you go past the niceties immediately into the topic of the topic of discussion. Another culture shock was the weather. It's way hotter here than it is in Africa sometimes. It's very humid. I feel like that is a big misconception that Americans have, that Africa is just so hot. No, America can get hot.